What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Up in smoke. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
A colleague in 1959 challenged him to develop a tobacco and nicotine-free cigarette. A Hungarian-born chemist named Puzsant Torigyan got inspired. Torigyan would spend the whole of his career engineering his own type of cigarette he hoped would change the world, or at the very least, cure nicotine addiction. The cigarette's name was Bravo, and it was made entirely out of lettuce. Today on Ghost Town, the rise and fall of Puzsant Torigyan's delicious, nutritious, and bizarre lettuce cigarettes. As early as the mid-19th century, American investors have tried to make a good, cheap, effective tobacco replacement. But the search for an herbal blend that could replace tobacco really took off in the late 1940s, around the same time research started to create clear correlations between tobacco and lung cancer. In the early 1950s, Big Tobacco decided that if you can't beat 'em, join 'em, and flooded money into alternative tobacco research as well. Simultaneously, and known to you if you've ever watched Mad Men, tobacco companies also initiated separate campaigns insisting that cigarettes were safe and the research was bad. Enter Puzsant Torigyan in 1959. Born in Constantinople in 1922, his family immigrated to America in 1929. According to Atlas Obscura, Torigyan served as a pharmacist in the Navy during World War II, then got a degree in pharmacology from Columbia University in 1949, after which he worked with a series of small pharmacy firms in New York. He later claimed that one of his mentors, Joseph Genovese, who managed a local drugstore chain, at one point challenged him to develop a safer cigarette. He saw a, quote, refreshingly simple, direct, and efficacious way to meet the challenge. Swap out tobacco and its nicotine for something else. But what was that something else? He tried kale, grape, cabbage, kohlrabi, spinach, carrot, peanut, tomato leaves, and sugar beet tops before finding that lettuce was best. Torigyan deeply believed lettuce was especially close to tobacco in look and taste, and wouldn't create many, not none, but not many, harmful byproducts. Torigyan did some more testing, took his idea to inventors, and in 1965, Bravo, a tobacco and nicotine-free cigarette, was born. Quote, if you can't give up smoking, give up nicotine, read the jingle in a 1966 ad in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Smoke Bravo. The lettuce cigarette was officially on. Bravo opened a factory in Hereford, Texas, hired around 200 workers, and started churning out 90,000 packs a month. A bold first move, but at that time, there were really no products to help people quit smoking, only to start and continue. Torigyan was so confident he'd found, quote, the answer to the global smoking problem that he appeared before a 1967 Senate Commerce Committee hearing on the development of safer cigarettes to declare, quote, with some pride that such a product has been achieved. But by 1969, Bravo might have been an answer, but it wasn't the answer the public was looking for. The company defaulted on loan payments, and by 1972, it was in bankruptcy. It might have been the marketing. After all, he was going head-to-head with a massive industry, tobacco, or the copious production or logistics or bad business partners. But it also might have been that Bravos were shitty. They smelled bad and tasted even worse. According to Atlas Obscura, people who tried them said they were worse than, quote, coffee grounds in a newspaper wrapper and akin to, quote, smoking old socks. Even after he lost his life savings on Bravo, Terigian kept obsessively tinkering to find the perfect cigarette alternative. After the death of Bravo, he moved to Malaysia to help establish and manage a drug manufacturing plant, then took over and expanded his family's lab. He officially retired in 1984, but experimented with startups like an early online nutritional counseling service and more. All the while, in his free time, he was patenting new drying and curing racks, new enzymatic processing solutions, and other new approaches to make a Bravo 2.0 an actual success. In the 80s, the public was finally equipped with the knowledge that smoking was bad. In 1984, the first nicotine gum to help people quit smoking got approved, followed by a mix of nicotine replacement products. With a new outlook on nicotine and public health, Terigian felt like he had another opportunity to relaunch Bravo. So, he did. According to Atlas Obscura again, Terigian found doctors willing to endorse it as a cessation method and included quitting strategy literature on his site and in bulk orders. He even came up with some creative messaging to combat the, well, the taste factor, which was, unfortunately, still pretty bad. Quote, "As you know, it takes a few packs to become accustomed to any new brand," one Bravo ad reads, "except the different taste. Enjoy a more pleasant aroma." The 90s Bravos were, again, somewhat better than their predecessor. The cigarettes contained nothing but lettuce, dried and cured to look like tobacco, processed into sheets, shredded, flavored with herbal extracts, and rolled up and boxed like any other cigarette. Bravo's marketing pretty much pushed the illusion that it was like a cigarette. In fact, one piece of advertising claimed that, quote, "Bravo tastes, well, pretty close to a cigarette." But unfortunately, like many marketing campaigns, they were not exactly right or truthful. Bravo's cigarettes still tasted awful, and according to Wallace Pickworth, a prolific tobacco health effects researcher, their unpalatability limited their usefulness. Still, dozens of pharmacies sold Bravos across the U.S. until about 2010, so maybe Terigian's bad-tasting lettuce cigarettes did, in fact, help somebody. But also, unfortunately, some research also suggests that, while safer in some respects, lettuce releases certain heavy metals when smoked, and its own tars carry unique risks. So Bravo and other herbal smoking cessation products may have been arguably as dangerous as your garden variety cigarette.